Check it, check, 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 mic check. All right, we're wrapping this up. This is part four in a four-part series talking about the book Men on Strike by Dr. Helen Smith. We got to wrap this up. I have to wrap this up. This is part four. I have to wrap this up. Otherwise, Randy is going to kick my ass. She said there will not be a part five, so I need to fucking focus, stay on topic, and get this shit done. So we're going to see what happens. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible for me to stay on topic and focused and fucking get this done. I'm just saying I'm going to need all the help I can get. All right, here we go. The fuck did I leave off? Where are my notes? You can scream and shout. That's where they went. Oh, you could scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and fucking moan like a little fucking feminist. You shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present and the most likely third possibility, the thing that's going to turn out to be true like it always is, you are wrong and I am right. Yes! Oh, motherfucker. It's amazing how that happens. I every time I do this, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. I can't figure this shit out. Now, like I say, I don't listen to other people, because if somebody else is talking, either they agree with me and I know what they're saying, or they disagree and they're wrong and I don't need to pay attention. Because this is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys statists of all kinds. The right-wing statists, the left-wing statists, the femi statists, the commie statists. Whatever kind of statist you are, you're going to die. Yes, this is the Saving the Obvious podcast, where we use M60 machine guns to mow down the stupid people in the control room. Keeping me on track and giving me the evil eye every time I go off topic is the lovely and adorable Randy. Of course, I am the great one himself. Cynical Libertarian Society is on the internet, CYNLIBSOC.com. You can send us email, you can send your love, you can send your hate, you can send your naked photos, send all that shit to God. That's God, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D at CYNLIBSOC.com. As I said, this is part number four. We're talking about the book Men on Strike by Helen Smith. She has a PhD, so hey, she must know something. She has a website too. It's on the internet. It must be true. We all know if it's on the internet, it must be true. I have a good chance of knocking this out. I have a good chance of doing this. Where did I leave off? Did that. Page 119, we did 119, 122, we did that. Holy shit, Randy, we are mind-blowingly close to being finished with this. Mind-blowingly close. Right. That's true. And Randy's pointing out we'd be a lot closer if I just fucking start talking about the topic and stop going off topic. I can't disagree with that. All right, we are jumping all the way back. So in here, I'm skipping all of this. There's good stuff in here, but obviously nothing I got too excited about. And this is where, tips about how to fight back, yada, 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 which, I mean, are good. They're important. I don't want to cover them here. Basically, it's stop being a tool. Stop letting the government shit all over you. You know, and of course, in the ANCAP society, we don't have these problems. In the society we live in, there are laws that allow the government to fuck the shit out of you just because you have a cock. And part of her advice is do something to change the laws so that men don't get fucked over. Of course, as an ANCAP, I tend to come in. Where the fuck is my water bottle? There it is. I tend to come in with the opinion that the solution isn't changing the laws, the solution is ignoring the laws. But of course, that's difficult to do if you have married or if you've had sex with a woman and she's gotten pregnant and then she's sending the courts after you to get child support, or if some woman has accused you of pedophilia because you looked at her child on the playground, or if a woman has accused you of rape because you touched her, or if you're being registered as a sex offender because you are really stupid and you're 22 years old and you chose to have sex with a 17-year-old girl instead of waiting 6 more months for her to turn legal so that you could fuck the shit out of her without having to worry about being a sex offender. Still going to be a rapist, right? You're still going to be paying child support if you choose unwisely, but you can be a rapist who's paying child support, or you can be a rapist who's paying child support who is on the sex offender list. You take your pick. So sometimes maybe you can't just ignore the laws. That's the problem when you start involving the female of the species, and especially if she is a femistatist. That's why you should be really careful about what kind of women you stick your dick into, because some of them are psychos. Okay, speaking of psychos, Randy's getting the psycho look in her eyes as she's telling me that I need to fucking do my notes and stop rambling. All right, page 173, where are we at? Oh yes, now this is good. I'm going to read this. Let's see, suggestions for women, 177. Okay, we're going to go into that. All right, love it. Yeah, we're on the home stretch. We are on the home stretch. Here it goes. Reading from the book. And this is her advice, Dr. Helen Smith's advice to men on dealing with the situation that has been discussed at length in the book. I read, "Dealing with Angry Women, White Knights, and Uncle Tims." Since these groups are so prevalent, they require a section all to themselves. These three groups are the biggest deterrents to men standing up for themselves. So how do you deal with people from these groups? If you can understand them and find out their motivations, it will help you figure out the best course of action. Women who are angry and complain a lot seem to get help, both in the media and in their relationships with others. Women tend to be more willing to initiate relationship conflict, more willing to escalate conflict, better able to handle it when it occurs, and quicker to recover from it. Men tend to be more stressed and confused in angry confrontations with their significant others, and tend to withdraw and stonewall. The problem with this approach is that it leads to marital dissatisfaction and possible divorce, because the man's stress is a leading indicator of dissatisfaction with a marriage. If you are dealing with an angry woman whom you care about, now, I'm just going to throw this a little. If you're dealing with an angry woman who you care about, the ultimate solution is to stop caring about her. Remember, there are 7 billion people on the planet Earth. 51% of them are women. If she's angry, just fucking get her out of your life. Get people who are shitheads. Get people who have anger. Get people who are statist out of your life. That's the best solution. Just saying, my opinion. I eliminated a lot of people from my life, and I'm pretty fucking happy. I'm excruciatingly happy most of the time. Do I fuck as much as I'd like to fuck? No, of course not, but who does? I mean, I'm sure some people do. But other than not fucking as often as I'd like to fuck, I'm doing great. Perfectly happy. Get fucking statist, get angry people, get hostile people, get violent people, get dickheads, get cocksuckers, get motherfuckers, get these people out of your... Okay, Randy, I'm back on top. Yes. If you are dealing with an angry woman whom you care about... excuse me. Hold on. Okay. Drink of water. Take two. Take three, actually. If you are dealing with an angry woman whom you care about, try talking to her about what you feel. Let her know that you feel upset by her words and need some time to cool off. Once you feel better about things, talk with her, stay involved, and try to talk it out. Women often get angry because their anger is their power with a man. He will try to do what he can to placate or help her. This was perhaps necessary in times past, as women had little in the way of power and they needed their husbands to listen. Now that women hold the power, maybe they need to try to listen a little bit more. Again, this is not new information. If you've had any exposure to the manosphere, you've heard this before. if you've heard and had any exposure to, I mean, Stefan Molyneux has talked about this, women get what they want through manipulation. And their anger is one of the ways they manipulate. Because when a chick gets angry, just like when she cries, the normal first reaction instinct from a man is to fix things so she's not crying anymore, so that she's not angry anymore. And women know this. Women are not stupid. Women are stupid, but they're not stupid, right? Just they don't know how to do math, and they don't know how to use logic, and they don't know how to do a syllogism, but they goddamn sure as hell are smart enough to understand how to emotionally manipulate other people, especially men. That's all that this is. And the beauty, everything I'm going to be reading here, you've heard, if you've been in the manosphere or if you've listened to some Stefan Molyneux videos talking about relationships between the genders and such, if you've listened to Warren Farrell talking, all of this you've heard before. The beautiful part of this is that it's coming from a woman. Which just goes to show that some women, do in fact have self-awareness. This is a thing that the femistatus certainly don't have, and that all women, that all people for that matter, need to cultivate, including myself. Sometimes I lose my self-awareness. For example, like right now, while Randy is pointing at the notes, telling me to fucking stay on topic, not talk about self-awareness. See, I'm aware that you want me to focus on the notes. All right. Silence, woman. Silence. Do not try to emotionally manipulate me by giving me dirty looks. Just shush. What about all of the angry women in the world, like the vicious types who think of men as enemies that are belittling? What about all... Hang on, it's 4 o'clock. And all is well. I did not eat ice cream before recording this episode either. Randy and I took a little break. I worked on editing a yoga DVD that I'm working on, putting that together. And we watched a little bit more of... I'm doing the James Bond movie marathon. Right now, I'm watching View to a Kill, which, as I recall, was one of the better James Bond movies, and so far is shaping up pretty well. So when we're done here, if I'm still alive, if Randy hasn't killed me, because she... Right now, it looks like she wants to crawl through the window and rip my head off and shit down my neck. If I'm still alive after we finish recording this, probably going to take a little ice cream break. I want ice cream. I'm like a little kid. Ice cream. I got some ice cream. I got some ice cream. You ain't got none. Only those of you seen Eddie Murphy know that. Ah, Sasquatch. All right. Aunt Bunny. No, don't make Aunt Bunny kiss me. No, yeah. I was going on, Gus. You come here. Your wife is a motherfucking Bigfoot. All right, anyway, has nothing to do with men on strike. Let me go back to reading. What about all of the angry women in the world, like the vicious types who think of men as enemies that are belittling and abusive? Call them on it. Women hate being called out in front of others. If a woman is rude to you or belittling, why can't I say that word? Belittling. What is wrong with my mouth? No comment. No. Oh, that was a good one. Called him on it. Women hate being called out in front of others. If a woman is rude to you or belittling in public, call her an emotional abuser in front of others or in a blog comment. Nothing will bother her more than being told she is acting in an abusive manner. Now, I somewhat agree, but somewhat disagree. A lot of women, I mean, again, the hardcore femistatist, I'm really not sure that this is going to phase them. Because part of, you know, long story short, the thing where they did brain scans on people who are liberals found that people who are liberal, more liberal in their beliefs, have brain damage because the part of their brain that controls empathy is smaller than people who are conservatives or libertarians or whatevers. I think most femistatists have this same brain damage. I don't think they have a lot of empathy for other people. Again, that's, you can't have empathy for other people and be a femistatist. I mean, how can you have empathy for other people but want to, you know, put men in prison for being pedophiles, for looking at children on the playground, right? I mean, you can't be a hardcore femistatist and have empathy for other humans. It requires you to be a sociopath. It requires you to be selfish. But still, I mean, it can't hurt to try these things. It cannot hurt to call a femistatist out and, you know, say that she is being abusive. It can't possibly hurt anything. Some people may say, well, but if you start calling her names, you're not going to have an intelligent conversation with her. You can't have an intelligent conversation with a femistatist. Again, it's like saying, well, if you don't pet your dog, you can't have an intelligent conversation with the dog. I mean, you can't have an intelligent conversation with the dog anyway. It's a dog. Okay, granted, it's smarter than a femistatist, but it's a dog. You can't. So, come on. All right, anyway. Most women like to think of themselves as an emotionally competent person who could be a victim, but not a victimizer. And I would agree with that. I believe, especially femistatists, they do believe themselves to be emotionally competent, and they do definitely see themselves as a potential victim. That's why they're a feminist. They are victimized by the patriarchy all the time, just being alive. The patriarchy is just victimizing them their entire lives. Oh, they're victims. And it's true, they don't see themselves as the victimizers. When they're accusing men of rape who haven't done anything, when they're helping to get all these laws passed that force men to pay child support for children that are not theirs, they don't see themselves as victimizers. When they're voting for Obama, who murders people in foreign countries with flying robots, they don't see themselves as victimizers. They don't see the brown people in Afghanistan and Yemen who are dead because of Hussein Obama's flying robots. They don't see those people died because they support and voted for Hussein Obama. They don't see that. They're not capable. Again, this goes back to what I just said. They don't have empathy for other humans. They can't fucking see themselves as the bad person. They can't see the harm they do to other people. They have no fucking empathy. This, again, empathy is a feminine quality. Feminine women have empathy. Femistatists are not feminine. Femistatists are trying to compete with men and replace men and degrade and push aside men by being masculine themselves. They're trying to kill their feminine qualities in favor of masculine qualities. They don't have empathy. Okay, continue reading. Use your own form of operant conditioning, meaning that there are some consequences to making belittling sexist statements with little thought. This could be a cold stare, withdrawing from the conversation, or thinking of a clever comeback such as, quote, gee, you're a real treat, unquote. I'd say that to a feminist.
Oh, and the patriarchy.
Oh, gee, you're a real treat. That's kind of funny, actually. I need to keep that on tap and use that sometime. Something that lets her know her statements are out of line. I think the easiest way to let a feminist know her statements are out of line would just be to fucking backhand her across the face. But that's just me. It would also violate the non-aggression principle. Sadly, it would. I wish it didn't, because I'd love to backhand a feminist. But see, this is the difference between having morals and not having morals. As an anarcho-capitalist, I operate from first principle. First principle says, do not initiate aggression against other people. So when a feminist is mouthing off about the patriarchy, as much as I would love to backhand her in the face, I would use one hand to backhand her in the face and the other hand to jack off, because it would make me just rock hard to backhand a fucking feminist in the face. But I don't do it because I have morals and I'm operating from the first principles. You don't initiate aggression against other people. Unlike the feminist, who of course have no problem supporting Hussein Obama while he murders people in foreign countries with flying robots. Unlike the feminists who have no problem supporting the drug war. Unlike the feminists who have no problem forcing men to pay child support for children that are not theirs, but they thought were theirs for many, many years because the woman lied to them, and only because of genetic testing did they find out they're actually not the parents. But that's because femistatists don't have empathy to go along with their lack of intelligence. Anyway, let me get back to reading. At work, it's a different matter and probably best to avoid these types if possible, or work in an all-male industry if you feel you cannot be around women like this. White Knights and Uncle Tims are both types of men who elevate women to privileged position in different ways, often for different reasons. The White Knight wants to take care of women and sees her as a damsel in distress who needs his masculine protection to get by. His status rises because he is seen by some men as chivalrous and by women as a protector. If he is a politician, he might be more conservative and will see certain unfair laws against men as necessary to protect the little women from the big bad wolf. Men, of course. Realize that this guy wants to be seen as a hero, but you must treat him as a fool. This will humiliate him and get him to rethink his chivalrous tendencies, which often lead to men being harmed and women gaining privilege. If you encounter a white knight type in the internet chat rooms or out in the world, call him out for being a tool of women, for that's what he is. Glorious. And he is a tool. Those of you who are white knights are, in fact, tools. And Uncle Tim is generally a sellout to his own gender, who is more than likely either a politician type, usually liberal, or just a guy trying to get laid who thinks that his PC behavior will get him laid more often. Point this out as frequently as possible and make fun of him for it. Shaming him is vital. The Uncle Tim type might just be a young guy who has been brainwashed into believing that he must dance to the female as superior tune, as men must be punished for discrimination against women in the past. In this case, try to educate him or give him some reading materials on the internet or elsewhere to show him where he is going wrong. And the location for that reading material would be Return of Kings website, returnofkings.com. Or pray he grows out of it. If you want to pray for the Uncle Tims, you feel... I refer Uncle Tims to what I call femisimps in my lingo. So when you hear me use the term femisimp, I'm talking about the Uncle Tims. The White Knights, I usually just refer to them as feminists, because of course, or femistatists, because femistatists can be a man or a woman in my usage of the term. Femistatist does not require a gender. Femistatist requires a worldview. If he continues past the age of 30, shame him also. Once the mocking reaches a level where he is uncomfortable to speak up about how men must pander to women, he will probably stop or at least think twice about it. Tips for women on how to help. While working with men and working on this book, I have met many women who really care about men and about justice. Though the media would have you believe that any man who dares speak about his rights is a misogynist and all women are victims with few rights and a list of grievances that have never been resolved, not all women feel this way. Many are open-minded and love their fellow man, and want things to be fair. For example, my friend and fellow blogger Amy Alcon speaks up for men on her blog www.advicegoddess.com. She gives advice to women and men, and her blog is straightforward and helpful to both. If women try to act like victims, she calls them on it. If men are having issues in a relationship, she doesn't assume he's the bad guy. We need more women like Alcon in the relationship arena who stand up for both genders. So, what can women do to increase positive interactions with men? Here are my three top suggestions. Number one. Now, let me editorialize for just a moment here. Let me point out two things, maybe three if I think of another one. Number one, I've said all this before. Number two, other men have said all this before. Number three, every time a man says these things, we get attacked. Patriarchy, misogyny, rape, pedophilia, blah, blah, blah. Number five, am I on five? Whatever. Number what the fuck ever. Just want to point out, this is a woman writing this. I don't want to hear about your fucking patriarchy. Number one. There's so much beauty in this sentence. We're gonna. All right. Number one. Stop your natural tendency to complain to him so much. Now let's look at this sentence for a moment. Notice that Dr. Helen, as she is known on her blog and stuff, as opposed to Dr. Smith, she goes by Dr. Helen. Dr. Helen doesn't just say, stop your tendency to complain. No. Stop your natural tendency to complain so much. Because Dr. Helen gets it, as do real men. Women complain, but they don't just complain. I complain. I'm complaining right now, right? People complain. Men complain. But women have a natural tendency, emphasis on natural, to complain. And they don't just complain. They complain so much. So yes, femistatist, femisimps, girls, gals, women, ladies, chicks, babes, broads, stop your natural tendency to complain to him so much. Yes, the culture tells you to do it, and the media exacerbates female victimhood and misandric behavior, but stop it. If your husband or boyfriend has flaws, you don't have to always point them out. That sentence right there is news for like 70% of the female population in the United States. No, honey, it's fucking true. If the man you're fucking has flaws, you don't have to point those flaws out every fucking day. If the man you're fucking has flaws, go fuck somebody else. Go fuck the unemployed guy who lives with his parents, okay? You can go fuck someone else. If the person who's fucking you right now just isn't perfect in every way, the way that you are, instead of complaining about it every fucking waking moment, remember, it's your body and your choice. Make a choice to take your body and go fuck somebody else. Try to focus on his more positive qualities. If he fixes things around the house or acts as a bodyguard at night, remember that those duties are just as, or sometimes more, important than washing the dishes. Number two. Do not go out and complain about him to others. Let me read that again for those of you who have vaginas and are just really fucking stupid, because this one is critical. Actually, they're all critical. Number two, do not go out and complain about him to others. This is a killer for your relationship, and if he finds out you are hanging out with your girlfriends and dissing him, his feelings of trust will break down. And if your girlfriends constantly complain about men, tell them that you don't appreciate it. Maybe you should get some fucking better girlfriends. If your girlfriends are all complaining about men all the time, then what does that tell you? It tells you they're making bad choices. It tells them that they aren't exercising my body, my choice, and going off and fucking somebody else. If your girlfriends are bitching about men all the time, it's just, and this is the same thing I say to men. You've heard me say this before, to men and women. If the person you're fucking doesn't meet your standards, well, that's your fucking fault. You chose that person. You're choosing that person. Don't bitch about the other person. Either talk to the other person about what needs to happen to make both of you happy, or fucking get out of the relationship and go be with somebody else. But don't go talk about the person you're fucking behind their back. Be a fucking real man or a real woman. You can fuck somebody else. If you fear they will ostracize you for that, then they aren't very good friends. And if you care more about your friend's feelings than your husband's or boyfriend's feelings, then how important can your relationship be? That little paragraph right there is just packed with brilliance. Number three. This one's going to be really tough because it requires a skill that women do not possess. Okay, here we go. Number three, listen. Now, for those of you who have uteruses, let me explain what this means. See, listening is what happens when you shut the fuck up and stop talking. Yeah, I know, I understand. You're like, what are you talking about? Stop talking? I don't know what you mean. What is stop talking? My man, he didn't put the toilet seat down. And then he parked the car on the wrong side of the garage. And yes, I know, I understand the fucking patriarchy is fucking forcing you to put the fucking toilet seat down. I understand that the patriarchy rapes you every time you have to put the fucking toilet seat down. And yes, I understand you're oppressed, but just stop talking. You have to stop talking, and then you can listen. Number three, listen without judgment to what your guy has to say. People are always saying men don't speak up, but they often don't because of the negative reaction they get, especially from women. Men are terrified of angry, judgmental women. So no matter how weird or disturbing you think of what your boyfriend or husband says, listen and don't interrupt with how he should feel. Just let him talk. At the same time, don't try to get him to talk about your relationship constantly. This is a relationship killer. Stop bitching all the time. Stop talking about him behind his back. Shut the fuck up and listen. Three things that you can do to make the world a better place. Can you do it? No, because, but you women, you're so superior. You're the plastic women. You're so adaptable and, you go girl and you're fucking strong and independent and getting your welfare check. But you can't shut the fuck up and listen to another person, can you? You can't. You really fucking can't. Randy, where the fuck are we on time? How are we doing?
Yes!
See? I told you. Four parts. I know. Yes, I know. Originally it was two parts. Then it became three parts. Yes, I know. I get it. We have time. Oh, no. We are not going... No, we're not going short. We have time. No, seriously, what time are we at? 34. Yes, we have time to do this. Because it just fits right in with this. I'm going to wrap this up, get it out of the way. And then the next edition of Stating the Obvious, I might be able to actually go back and talk about, God forbid, anarcho-capitalism. Because I've been on the feminazi rant for how many months now? We're going to get back to anarcho-capitalism at some point. All right, this is... Now, I almost didn't even do this because I saw, this is an article from Elle Magazine. Fashion magazine written for women by women. And I almost was not going to read this article because I thought, probably not that interesting. And I almost chunked it out, and then I read it, and there is some golden shit in here. Golden shit. So So let me read some of this and comment to you about it. This article is called Girl on Girl Power. It's written by Lizzie Goodman. Here she says, and she's talking about herself. Is she talking about herself? Yes. Referring to herself. Quote, I'm more turned on by men, drawn to their foreignness. There's something about the juxtaposition of hard, cool maleness and my opposite impulses that makes me feel calm and settled in the world. Unquote. Yes, see, that's called being feminine. It's just like men are attracted to women, and women are attracted to men. Being attracted to men by their hard, cool maleness is called being feminine. It is what femistatists don't have. Now, this continues, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. Quote, many hetero women will talk about things with their friends that they don't with their husbands, unquote, says Evergreen State College History and Family Studies professor Stephanie Kuntz. Quote, women tend to get more dissatisfied with marriage over time than men do. Women spend a lot more time doing the emotional work in a marriage, and that's tiring, unquote. And then there's just the work, she continues, open quote, we're socialized to want to marry, but then once we get there, we're like, huh, why am I doing so much housework? Unquote. Let me stop there for the moment. Women get more dissatisfied in marriage than men do. God, where the fuck have we heard this theory before? Where have we heard the idea that women who are married become dissatisfied and want to fuck other people? Whoa, what sphere of the world has this been said multiple fucking times in? Oh, the manosphere. There's even a word for it. Okay, yes. Women are never fucking satisfied. They always need new shit, including new cock inside of them. Yes. When I say it, I'm a misogynistic asshole. But when this bitch says it, it's research. All right. Anyway. Yes. Yes. Yes, women get more dissatisfied. Many hetero women will talk about things with their friends they don't with their husbands. Again, where's your communication skills? If you women are so great at communicating, and if you're interested in maintaining the relationship, having a relationship with the boyfriend, the husband, whatever, why the fuck aren't you talking to him? Why are you talking to your friends? Why are you going, we just read, don't go to your friends and complain about your man. What do women do? They don't talk to their friends about shit. They don't talk to their husbands because they have no communication skills. They can't shut the fuck up and listen to what the man is saying. All right. We're socialized to want to marry. Well, and who socialized you? You're raised by your mother. The public school system is dominated by women. Colleges are at least 50% or more women teachers. Children are raised by women. Little girls are raised by women. Who's socializing them to want to get married? Women are. And then, why am I doing so much housework? Well, gee, I don't know. Are you going to work every day? Are you changing the oil in the car? Are you mowing the lawn? Oh my God. You know, again, here's the patriarchy. Oh, I have to do housework. I'm unsatisfied with my marriage because I have to wash dishes. I wash dishes. I wash dishes almost every fucking day. It hasn't killed me yet. When I want to fucking clean my apartment, I fucking plug in the vacuum cleaner and use the goddamn thing. I haven't died from vacuum cleaner exposure yet. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Let me continue reading. Now this, I can relate. This is the author speaking again. Now this I can relate to. Not the housework per se. My boyfriends have generally been more into cooking and cleaning than I am. But the broader existential worry that what I think I want from a relationship might not actually satisfy me. This is a legitimate concern. What you think you want from a relationship may not satisfy you. This is a legitimate. The thing here is, this goes back, how many times have I fucking said this? Broken record. Self-awareness. have the self-awareness to know what you want and need from a relationship, and have the standards to, when you're with somebody, have the standards to say, if I'm not getting what I need, to leave that person, not in a bad way, but to break up with that and go and look for it elsewhere. But before doing that, have the fucking decency and the communication skills to talk to the person you're in a relationship with and say, look, these are the things I need to be happy in my relationship. What do you need to be happy in your relationship? And how can we mesh this together to make it so that it works for both of us? And if we can't, and if we see that we can't, then let's go our separate ways and let's not have harsh feelings towards each other. But see, that requires maturity. And the femistatist does not have maturity. Maturity does not exist in a femistatist brain. Okay, let me keep reading. It was quite controversial in 1948 when sexologist Alfred Kinsey, announced that based on self-reported desires and experience, many people fell somewhere in the middle of his 0 to 6 scale, with 0 being exclusively heterosexual and 6 exclusively homosexual. The Kinsey report and blah, 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 yeah, as we all know all the problems with that. It was conducted with a lot of people in prisons and blah, 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 and this was, yeah, whatever. We're not going into all that. Now, here's what's important. So yes, Kinsey said everybody is a little bit homosexual. Okay, so just keep that in mind. And he's worshipped, right? He's a, because basically he's saying men are homosexuals. The way it's always presented and interpreted, you know, his studies were done on men and he found that all men are homosexual, and the GLBT crowd loves this, the femistatists love this, because nothing makes them happier than attacking and destroying a heterosexual white man with a job. And if you can call a heterosexual man homosexual or make fun of his penis size or try to tell you, threaten him with cutting his balls off, that's a golden grail for the femistatist. All right, anyway, let me go reading. Because now we're running out of time, because that's how we do things here. These days, however, the fact that sexual attraction exists on a spectrum is pretty established. After all, even Honey Boo Boo recently declared that, quote, everybody's a little gay, unquote. And if that's not evidence of the cultural integration of broad-spectrum sexuality, I don't know what is. Okay. I had never heard of Honey Boo Boo until I saw the South Park episode. And I thought they just made that up. Because I thought, there's no way that could be real. I mean, people are stupid. But surely, surely, Honey Boo Boo cannot be real. Well, I got on YouTube and I found the best of Honey Boo Boo, and I watched about a minute and 20 seconds before I had to stop it because I was about to fucking vomit. When you get your scientific and spiritual guidance from a little fat girl on TV, This is where we are in our society. Obviously, broad spectrum sexuality must be real. It must be true. Because Honey Boo Boo said so. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Do you not understand that according to the laws of natural selection, you should not be alive? People who watch Honey Boo Boo would die if it were not for the welfare state. They would starve to death and die. What's less well integrated is the idea that people people's number on the scale may jump around over the course of their lives. This seems especially true for women, whose sexual desire and behavior varies more over time than men's, according to data from the University of Chicago Sex Survey and a variety of other academic reports, and is more responsive to experience and social context. There's also evidence of a curious detachment between what we report we like sexually and what our bodies respond to, a finding explored in a recent book by the journalist Daniel Bergner, What Do Women Want? That's the title of the book, What Do Women Want? Bergner discusses the work of psychology researcher and sexologist Meredith Chivers, who measured the physiological responses of men and women as they watched an array of provocative imagery while also rating their level of arousal. Not only did women respond to a wider variety of stimuli, including a woman doing calisthenics, but unlike the men, what they said turned them on and what their bodies measurably reacted to were wildly different. Now let's keep all this in mind. Women claim to be in touch with their feelings, yet what they say they're attracted to and what they are attracted to are different. Women say they're attracted to sensitive men who care about their feelings. They fuck the bad boys who shit on them. Again, when I say women claim they're attracted to good guys and white knights, but the person they fuck is the bad boy who's in prison, everybody calls me patriarchal and misogynistic and rapist. But when science backs up what I'm saying, oh no. And I did a little checking into this research. I need to check more into it. But one of the things that women said they weren't attracted to, but were attracted to, was other women. So remember, even Honey Boo Boo has said everybody's a little bit gay, right? We've determined in here, it says about how women's number on the scale between heterosexual and homosexual varies over time, yada, yada, yada. For how many years on this podcast have you heard me say all women are bisexual? All women. I don't mean most. I mean, yes, there's 1 out of 1,000 who's the exception. All women are bisexual. I have been saying this for years. When I say it, I'm a rapist and a pedophile. Science is saying it. The research studies are backing it up. Women are bisexual by nature. Women have no clue what they're actually sexually attracted to. This is only news if you're an idiot. Let me go back to reading. We skipped down quite a bit in the paragraph, in the article. Sachs couldn't agree more about the challenges of joining the lesbian world. Sachs is a woman who decided she was lesbian, and she did, and that's fine. It's good. She's man now. So Sachs couldn't agree more about the challenges of joining the lesbian world. Quote, "I was so goddamn distrusted," unquote, she says. Quote, she's talking about as she moved into the lesbian world and like started spending time with other lesbians, going to lesbian bars and stuff like that. That's the context of her comments. Quote, "Everybody thought I was out to steal their girlfriend. I'd walk into a bar and people would get icy," unquote. It was like she was both fresh meat, bait to tempt your loyal girlfriend, and a predator eyeing the crowd for the most appealing target. Quote, "I'd cry myself to sleep because I was like, how am I going to have friends?" Unquote. It took a while, but the iciness thawed and, quote, half the community, she says, attended the couple's wedding last fall. But again, women, you're so empathic and you're so compassionate, but then when this woman decides she's a lesbian and she goes into the lesbian community, what do? They ostracize her because they're so empathic. And they're so caring, and they're so sensitive, and oh, if only women ruled the world, why, everything would be wonderful. All right. Randy's giving me dirty looks because we are dangerously close. All right, I'm reading. You get some pushback when you decide to write about later-in-life lesbians. A gay friend of mine rolled her eyes at the cliche of yet another straight girl getting curious about lesbianism. Another friend objected to what she perceived as any suggestion that homosexuality is a choice. And that's, again, the cattiness of women. You know, how dare you decide to write an article about lesbians? Oh. The cattiness that comes naturally with having a vagina. All right, skip down a little bit. But she also recalls a conversation she and her wife of a little over a year, Tiffany Caldwell, had with a lesbian couple who'd been out for years. Quote, "We were saying whether you know when you're 8 or 38, you become as gay as any other gay person," unquote, she explained. Her point is that to judge gayness based on length of time served, so to speak, is its own kind of bigotry. Diamond says, quote, "The formation of the gay community was people speaking out and feeling a sense of collectiveness, like, oh my God, I struggled and hated myself too. The modern version of this is the well-known It Gets Better campaign. That's part of why some people respond to the notion of fluidity with fear or hostility. It doesn't fit their experience. They can't understand it. Well, nothing fits everyone's experience," unquote. And again, this is what the femistatist don't understand. The femistatists only have their experience. This is why they lack empathy. They don't understand other people's experiences are different than their experiences. They can't understand this. If they did, why would you advocate murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots if you are able to understand other people's experiences? They also introduced me to a term. This is a new word for me. I like this. Barsexual. A barsexual is a woman who makes out with other women in bars to get attention from men. I love it. The final sentence of this article is this. Blah, blah, blah. She smiled, quote, this is a girl talking. Well, blah. "Being unhappy just became the baseline," Rachel told me. Quote, "I remember thinking the skies were stormy for so long, and suddenly with Luce, it was like a movie. The sun came out. We talk about it all the time. We talk about everything. 'Cause we're girls." And I appreciate a girl who can recognize that she's a girl, and that because she's a girl, she talks about everything all the fucking time and can't shut up. That is a feminine trait. And it's nice of a girl, even if she's a lesbian girl, who can recognize her feminine traits and embrace them instead of trying to grow a fucking mustache. So, there it is. 4 fucking episodes about this book and about femistatist. Here's the takeaway. Femistatist, shut the fuck up. Stop telling men that they're fucked up. Stop talking about men behind their backs. And shut the fuck up and listen and wax your goddamn mustache and lose some fucking weight. That's the 5 things you need to know. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Wax your mustache and stop being fat. Andy, it's time for ice cream, James Bond. Fuck yes. Let's do it.